Hello, Sanctuary Columbus. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Somebody say, God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. That's right. Go ahead and put it in the chat if you're watching with us live on Facebook or YouTube, and let somebody know how good God is today. This is Vision Sunday. And let me just tell you off the top, I know this sounds really ambitious, because who in their right mind would endeavor to have a vision for the year coming off of the year 2020 when we were supposed to have perfect vision? And nobody saw the stuff that was coming in 2020. Well, here's the reason why. Churches do Vision Sundays all the time, but it's a new thing. You're not going to find Vision Sunday in the Bible. Usually it's trying to take this sort of a corporate idea of what we do together so that we can bring more people on board and we can go after some kind of goal or task. And Vision Sundays often ask the question, what is going to make us a successful church? Or what will make us a great church? Borrowing that phrase from Jim Collins, the business consultant who taught others how to go from good to great, churches can focus on that good to great. Well, I hope that what you hear today is not just about going from good to great. I hope what you hear today is not about some kind of corporate structure and some goals that we're trying to go after and rally people around, because frankly, for me, that's just not a life-giving vision. Sanctuary Columbus Church exists for this reason: to be a multi-ethnic church transformed by Jesus and united in service. If you're taking notes and looking for a main idea for today, I just gave it to you. We are a multi-ethnic church transformed by Jesus and united in service. Now, I hang out with a lot of pastors, and so we actually talk about that, what makes a great church great, all the time. It's just kind of in our vocabulary. And, does it mean that a church is great if it is large? Large churches, they equal greatness, right? I mean, bigger, better. Oftentimes, the two sort of go hand in hand. Bigger, better, faster, stronger, whatever, all of those kind of things. But many of us know plenty of large churches that are not great. They may be doing some really meaningful things, some interesting things for sure, but we wouldn't call it great. Perhaps a great church is one that has a famous pastor, with a large social media following on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook, and, but really, really cool, famous pastors. They even have a TikTok page, and I don't know, they do dances for Fortnite to win all of the young people. I'm not sure. They write books, they write articles, maybe they even have a podcast. A great church will have a famous pastor who makes the church look great, right? Or maybe the greatness is defined in the number of programs. I grew up in church, you understand? And at the time, when I was growing up in church, a great church had a lot of programs or ministries. I mean, you go on the website and you would find 40 programs or ministries. You're like, man, you ain't got but 20 people in the church. How in the world do y'all have 40 ministries? Well, because great was equivalent to having a lot of programs and a lot of ministries. Right? All of this greatness, talk really is making me a little sick, to be honest with you. So let me substitute this word for great: health. Instead of asking the question, what makes a great church, maybe what we ought to be focusing on is what makes a healthy church. You see, a church that's focused on like the building and the programs and, the senior pastor or pastors, they're focusing on their budgets, all of that is subject to change with a global and national crisis. All that is subject to change and to impact that church quite deeply in ways that the church may never recover or the pastor may never recover because they've succumbed to some kind of fallenness. But a healthy church can withstand the trials and the tests that come its way. You know, when people ask you, what church do you go to? Where do you attend? And, you know, who's the pastor? And you use words like, man, my church is great. My church is awesome. My pastor is great. My pastor is awesome. I want to change the language today. I want to change the way in which you talk about your church. And if you're not a part of a church, that maybe you would actually consider not its greatness, but its health as a part of its role in your life. What if when somebody said, what church do you go to? And you responded, a healthy one. What if somebody said, tell me about your pastor. Tell me about, you know, what does he preach like? And, you know, what translation of the Bible does he use? And you said something like, he's a healthy follower of Jesus Christ. Maybe health ought to be the thing that we focus on. Maybe health is the thing that actually gets us to greatness. It certainly is the thing that would motivate me to stay a part of a church. One that doesn't focus on its greatness on those ancillary things, but one that focuses on its health on the interior things. And to guide our message today, I'm going to turn you to the Bible in Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 8. And then today, we're going to finish with communion. So get those communion things ready. Get that bread, that cracker, that juice, that wine, and the Word of God preached and spoken through the Apostle Paul, who tells us, I think, some essential qualities for having a healthy church. And now there will be many other things, perhaps, you might add to the list. And we're focusing on a few here today to guide our conversation as I talk about a vision for Sanctuary Columbus Church that relates back to the purpose for why we exist. Romans chapter 12, verse 3 through 8. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation from my man, Sean Bradford, who loves the New Living Translation. This one's for you, bruh. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you're better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. In His grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. This is the word of the Lord, and the people said, thanks be to God. Let it fill our minds, flow from our mouths, and free our hearts to live as the beloved children of God. I said it earlier that Sanctuary Columbus is a multi-ethnic church transformed by Jesus and united in service. But the picture of a multi-ethnic church is not what this is all about. You see, there's this theory of church growth called the homogeneous unit principle. It's a church growth model that was adapted from global missions by Fuller University or Seminary. And it basically states that like attracts like. People prefer to be with people who are like them. It's just easier that way. And when we're trying to do church, it's easier to do church with people who are just like you, who share your same values, who think the way you think, who love the things you love, and who even share the same race. The theory was applied some 30 to 40 years ago, and it saw an explosion of growth in America. Churches like Willow Creek and Saddleback had personality profiles of individuals that they were going after, and they tended to be white, middle-class males. And their churches grew. By going after that one person, they hope we'll catch other people along the way, but churches ought to be focused on one person, and the others will come along. The opposite belief was this: if you want to grow a church, don't start multi-ethnically. It's just too difficult to put African Americans and white and Chinese and Indian together. Mix that in with some South Americans and maybe some Middle Easterns. Man, your church is never going to grow. Do it out in the workplace. Do it out at the bars and the clubs. But in the church, it's not going to go so well. And a lot of truth was in that. Churches that focus on homogeneity or just gathering people who are racially just like them do tend to grow faster and larger. But for the sake of what? For the sake of comfort? For the sake of a shared experience? Homogeneous churches certainly have a better chance at growing large, but growing large doesn't equal God's affirmation. Growing large doesn't express God's heart for all people, certainly not the great commission that he gave to go and make disciples of all people groups. I don't see an emphasis in the Bible of growing large as a focus, although many people point to the book of Acts and 3,000 people came to faith in one day under Peter's teaching. We need to understand that there was particulars going around at that time, particularly that Jesus Christ had died, been buried in the grave, was resurrected, and they lived to see it and to tell others about it. Certainly, any kind of growth that doesn't focus on the resurrection of Jesus Christ is a church that is focused too inwardly and not outwardly enough. So we are about lifting up the name of Jesus as he brings this multi-ethnic, multiracial church together. You see, Sanctuary has about 90 covenant partners. Those are the folks who have taken the process to go through membership. And we have another set of regular attenders who are about 120 adults. And let's not forget about 60 kids and children, which, by the way, I have no idea what those numbers are while we are in COVID right now. I know my wife and four kids go to church, but I don't know about nobody else. I don't know how big the church is or small. It gives us an opportunity then to not focus on the numbers, right? And yet, we have something else deeper that we can process. Now, those numbers are incredible in and of themselves. I mean, we're talking about almost 300 people, a part of Sanctuary Columbus before we got into this online thing. That already puts us in the top 10% of churches in America. A church of 300 already puts us in the top 10%. Woo! Congratulations. But the focus isn't there. Listen to these other numbers. Sanctuary Columbus right now is about 50% white, 35% African American, and 10% Asian, and 5% non-white people of color. And in case you're wondering, that is a very diverse community. For any church, and by God's grace, for ours. The fact that people would voluntarily come to be a part of a multi-ethnic, multi-racial congregation is none other but a gift of grace. Church, don't take this for granted. Don't take for granted that you are a part of something special. Don't take for granted that you are part of something that is God-breathed. Don't take for granted that you are a part of something that is God-birthed and that by God's grace will be God-maintained. But again, the blessing is not in the numbers. It's in the way of health. I'm not ambitious about pastoring the largest church. I'm not ambitious about pastoring the most racially diverse church or the largest multiracial church either. I am ambitious about pastoring a healthy church. The question is, what is a healthy church? Paul says this, because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you're better than you really are. In other words, in the urban translation of Paul's letter to the Romans, don't smell yourself. Smelling yourself means you kind of feeling yourself when you put on a turtleneck, you know what I'm saying, and a jacket, you're like, looking good. He says, no. Don't think of yourself better than you really are, but be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. A healthy church, then, takes an honest evaluation of its spiritual and emotional health. In this one verse, Paul uses one particular Greek word. It's the word that is translated think. If you're reading from the NIV or ESV translation, it's used like three or four times. Think, 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 think. Pay attention and take an honest evaluation of where you are. Another way of saying it would be like Paul saying, don't super think yourself more highly than you really are, but be humble in your thoughts about who you are. Man, I already what's coming to mind is that health is the initial thing that Paul is urging these Christians in Rome to consider. Not all of the outward attention, not all of the focus that's on Rome being this seatbed as the church had moved and migrated its way across Asia Minor. Rome began to be this prominent place and people looking to Rome is don't think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but take an honest evaluation. So how are you? This is what we mean when we talk about growing in our being transformed by Jesus, that we take an evaluation of who we are and where we are. In his book, The Emotionally Healthy Church, Pete Scarzero shares story after story of woe, church splits, marital strife, bitter pastors, and on and on and on. And he asks the question, what's the problem? Why all this failure? And interesting, he says the blame is squarely at the feet of a church who has a culture of emotional repression. He says this, having gone through his own experience of an emotional crash, my inner world was not in sync with my exterior behavior. The Bible has a word for this gap, a word that Jesus repeatedly used towards religious leaders, hypocrisy. What is particularly frightening is that this placating is often taught and expected in our churches. The result is that huge numbers of people are totally unaware of the dichotomy between their exterior and interior worlds. The premise is this, church. One cannot be spiritually mature and emotionally immature. One needs to develop maturity in both spaces to be a follower of Jesus. And in this, we call it transformation. The process of transformation is cooperating with Jesus to be made into the image of Christ. And a healthy church will lead people to be deeply transformed by Jesus beneath the surface of their lives. Pete Scarzero gives us 10 symptoms of an emotionally unhealthy spirituality. Let me just read the list to you and see if any of these resonate. Judging other people's spiritual journey. Living without limits, covering over brokenness, spiritualizing away conflict, doing for God instead of being with God, dividing ourselves into secular and sacred compartments, denying the past impact on the present, dying to the wrong things, ignoring the emotions of anger, sadness, and fear, using God to run from God. Healthy churches are filled with Christians who pursue health, who have a healthy sense and evaluation of their emotional and spiritual life, and they know they can't do it all. So they don't try to do what they can't do alone. This requires a cooperation with the Holy Spirit, and a healthy church will lead people to look beneath the surface of behaviors, of motivations, of habits that keep us from experiencing a transforming life with Jesus Christ. But we do not do this in isolation. Listen to how Paul continues. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body and we all belong to each other. So it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body and we all belong to each other. In His grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. Secondly, a healthy church connects members to a sense of belonging that values every part. Did you hear that the church is a body that has many parts and that every part is important and every part belongs together? No one part is greater than the other one. No one is separate from the other one. They're all interconnected, interwoven, and interdependent upon one another. And Paul, oftentimes in his letters to the churches in Rome, in Galatians, in Corinthians, speaks about the church as being a body, a family that is connected together because connection is a basic human need. And for our transformation process into the image of Christ, it requires not just cooperating with Jesus, it also calls for cooperation with other followers in Christ Jesus. That connection can have a sense of unity with another person or group, or feeling like you belong into a place that is bigger than yourself, but reminds you that you're not alone. We're experiencing this sort of physical and social disconnection over this past year, wondering what is it like to belong? And as often as people are disconnected from one another, and not just not being connected physically, but all kinds of disconnection, scientists have found that it leads to shorter life expectancy, withdrawals and isolation from being linked into being hospitalized or rehospitalized when they lose connection with another human being. That's what we're experiencing now, is how do we get connected? How do we find ourselves into a place where we belong? It's kind of like puzzle pieces, right? Put your thinking cap on for a moment. All the puzzle pieces are there. You dump out the box, and then you realize as you're putting the puzzle together that there's some pieces that are missing. And sometimes we give up on putting the puzzle together. Oh, it's all, I don't have all the pieces here. And you throw out the whole box of 500, puzzle pieces because four or five were missing. It's incomplete. Nothing you can do with it. And certainly some people will liken the church as you finding a place where you fit in. Question is, but what if the piece is missing? Instead of thinking about this interconnectedness like a puzzle piece, I'd rather us to think about it like a box of Legos, or maybe a bag of Legos. I remember, my kids, they love Legos and wanted, some pieces, but didn't want to buy an already, described set, like a dinosaur set. They just wanted pieces. They didn't need the dinosaur. They wanted the pieces so that they can make anything they wanted. Go on Amazon, and you can do this right now. You go on Amazon, you want some Lego pieces. Somebody is selling 500, 1,000, 1,500, 2,000 Lego bricks or blocks or whatever you call them, joints, and you get them. And what happens is it inspires the imagination for what can become from each individual Lego piece. Oh, if we was in church today, everybody would be walking out with a Lego piece. Because a church that is healthy works for connecting people into belonging that reflects that every part matters. Every part can belong. And people don't just get thrown out when it doesn't feel like they don't fit. We work, and we work to be transformed, and we work to ask the Lord to inspire our prophetic imagination to see what can become as God adds to the body, as God diversifies the people who come. We say, Lord Jesus, as we are committed to you and to one another, what might you build? The Bible tells us, except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that try to build it. We got to let God build this thing and build it in such a way that we are connected together, where we experience the solidarity and the connectedness with one another for what Jesus died for over 2,000 years ago. He continues to build today with a multi-ethnic, multi-racial, multilingual, multi-generational, multi-class body of Christ. A healthy church is one that is made up of all kind of people from all kind of backgrounds who join together in this basic common belief that Jesus is the one who keeps us together. Malcolm would be singing right now, Jesus at the center of my church. Jesus at the center of my church. Jesus being at the center means that we can all be connected together as we pursue transformation in Christ Jesus. We don't have to share all the same politics. We don't even have to share all the same music tastes, share all the same ideas, except this one. That we are being made in Christ's image and Christ's idea of what a healthy church looks like is to be connected together. Can I get a witness? Somebody. And here's the last way that Paul ends his urge to a healthy church is that in verse 6, God has given us different gifts for doing things well. A healthy church provides space for members to discover and use their gifts to serve the common good of others. Listen, Paul is going to go on here as you look back in those verses that he shares different kinds of gifts. And these gifts are not meant to be an exhaustive list. The gifts appear in other places in Romans chapter 10, as well as Corinthians 12 through 14. Gifts are mentioned in Ephesians chapter 4. Gifts are mentioned all over the place. And none of the gifts are meant to be an exhaustive list. The point of the gifts is this. Number one, the gifts come from God. The gifts aren't something you just pick up off of a shelf. The gifts come from God. But secondly, the gifts don't come with gender identification. And then lastly, the gifts are meant to be shared. That word gift, used by Paul here in the Greek, is charis, which comes from the word, which leads to the word charismata or charismatic. It is a gift of grace. It's a gift of grace. No one earns it. No one performs, into it. It is a gift of God's grace, but it is a gift of God's grace to be used for the common good of the believers, as well as for those in need of Christ. In other words, if you've got a spiritual gift that you've been sitting on, then brother or sister, I implore you to put your gift to work. If you got a gift that hasn't been exercised, a healthy church grows healthier as the gifts are being shared with one another and not withheld. A church that provides space for members to discover their gifts for the common good is a church that isn't focused on growth by numbers, but growth by maturity and strength and health. Listen, the bottom line is this: healthy Christians make healthy churches. What makes a church healthy? The answer is really not hard to find. Again, it's healthy Christians. After all, the church is more than a building. The church is more than an organization. And the church is more than its senior pastor or leader. The church is the people. The people are the church. I'm not going to do the steeple thing because I don't know how to do it. But the church is you. My vision, my hope for 2021 is that we would pursue health in our individual lives, and it will result in connection with others. Others who are sensing the need for belonging, others who are sensing the disconnection that the world has promised them but can no longer provide in the true and deepest way of their innermost being, and a church that doesn't sit on its gifts but uses those gifts to be a blessing to its family and to the community around it. We've been interviewing candidates for the associate pastor position, and one of the candidates asked, what do I imagine the church being like 5 years from now? Man, I love questions like that. I love looking at the future and thinking about the future. So man, 5 years from now, I'm going to be 50 years old. Well, technically 49 from this date, but my birthday is in August of this year. And so 5 years from now, in August, I will be 50 years old. And what I said is that, number one, I'm not just after church to grow large. You know, 5 years from now, if we're 500 people, praise God. If we're still 250 people, praise God. May our focus 5 years from now be on health. Are we healthy? Are we a healthy church? And a healthy church will embrace a biblical view of God's belovedness that leads us to understand that our identity is in Christ Jesus, and we want others to firmly root their beloved identity in Christ Jesus as well. 5 years from now, my prayer is that Sanctuary Columbus would be a gift to the city of Columbus in how to live healthy, how to practice the spiritual disciplines in such a way that leads us to address the interior lives so that they will be consistent with our exterior projections. A church where it is not dependent on one leader, but it is a church that is developing leaders in all industries of our city. Teachers who understand justice and multi-ethnicity as being not just on the heart of God, but as a means of addressing white supremacy. A church that would release bankers and CEOs and grocery store workers and custodians to understand that their belovedness is not in what they do, but in who they are, and it informs the way they do. Can you imagine a church like this that focuses on health as its mark of maturity and not its numbers? Not even those numbers of multi-ethnicity and race. But one who says, the Lord requires of us to do what he said to the church in Israel in Micah chapter 6, verse 8. To do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. Let me ask you this question. Suppose that everyone in the church were like you. What kind of church would we have? Would we still be able to do ministry? Would we still be reaching people for Jesus Christ? Will people still be transforming into the image of Christ and understanding God's call to serve out of our giftings? but not by neglecting our brokenness. What kind of church would we have? You know, healthy churches don't happen by accident, and it's in times like these I'm reminded that I'm a part of the church too. Yes, I'm the pastor, but I'm also a member. That made me think about all of them commercials back in the day, the people who was going bald, and they'd be like, you know, not only am I the president of this, you know, regrowth hair thing, I'm also a client. I don't know why that just came to mind. But I am a part of the church. I'm not just the pastor. I need to be transformed as well in community with others and using my gifts to serve the body of Christ. Lately, I've been reciting this Jesus prayer to myself. It arises out of the Orthodox tradition over some 1,000 years ago, and it is striking in its simplicity. It simply says this: Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Our church will be healthier when we have healthy individuals, leaders, and members who embrace their understanding of a need for the mercy of God, who don't think highly of themselves, but are sober-minded, realizing that we are like a body connected together, using its gifts for the common good of others. So here's my questions for you today. Number one. What are the spiritual practices that you need to cultivate to become emotionally and spiritually healthy? These spiritual practices are also called disciplines or rhythms, and there is a long list of practices and disciplines as well. The goal is not to become that Christian that tries to do them all or even perfect them all, but it's about asking the Lord, what practices need to be cultivated so that I am paying attention to my interior world. Your transformation won't just happen on its own. You've got to practice it. You got to put some disciplines in place and develop a rhythm so that you consistently go back to the place that pulls you closer to Jesus. Practices certainly of prayer, but also practices of joy, practices of silence and solitude, and yes, even practices of fasting. Secondly, what are the ways you are meaningfully connecting with others? And what relationships are you cultivating on the journey towards health? A member of the church invited me to lunch this past week. And then earlier in the week, another member brought me a cup of his favorite chai latte. Delicious. Someone called me to ask a question about something they were wrestling with in the scriptures. And the message rung over and over in my ears. Rich, as a member, who are you calling? Who are you inviting? Who are you sharing gifts and thoughts with intentionality? Who are you wrestling with, like Jacob, wrestling with God and doesn't let go until he blesses him? Who am I cultivating a relationship with as I'm being transformed by Jesus? And then lastly, what are the gifts, callings, and burdens from the Lord that you are using to bless the common good of others? Dr. Corey Little Edwards and I started this podcast called The Elusive Dream to inform and equip the body of Christ to become a beloved community who embraces their belovedness and shares that belovedness with one another. It's not a shameless plug to go download the podcast on Apple iTunes or Spotify, rate it, and leave a review. That's not what this is about, but that would be kind. Since releasing the podcast, though, I've heard from Black and white and Asian pastors who are trying to have this conversation with their congregations about what it means to embrace God's justice that can be a blessing and a transformation into a multiracial community. I say, Lord, would you use us to serve the body of Christ? As you reflect on these questions today or later in this week, perhaps you will take to pen and paper to ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you and to guide you. The vision for Sanctuary Columbus Church in 2021 is not even mine. It's the Lord's. What is the Lord saying to you? Now, if we were in church today, we'd be taking communion because this is a special, special time. Hearing from the Lord about a vision and being reminded that it is God through Jesus Christ in the power and presence of the Holy Spirit that we are even here today. Jesus taught his disciples, hey, whenever you do this, you remember me, the chief cornerstone of your faith. As we get there, I want to invite us, though, to have this prayer of confession. The words are here on the screen, and you can read it out loud where you are as well. Or simply in your own soul, internalize these words as we prepare ourselves to receive Christ. The prayer of confession. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen and amen. Let us prepare for communion to receive the body and the blood of Jesus. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it. And after giving thanks, he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." And drink it. And let us pray as we receive what the Lord has done for us. Dear Heavenly, most gracious Father, it is in your Son Jesus' name we pray. Jesus, who modeled the way. Jesus, who built the church. And Jesus, who is returning for a church to be presented before you, Father, without spot and without wrinkle. We pray in the name of Jesus and through the power of the Holy Spirit to give thanks for this church we call Sanctuary. The real name is In Christ Jesus. Let it be reminded that every person is to be transformed into the image of Christ Jesus, not the image of Sanctuary Columbus. That every person is connected into the body of Christ that crosses race, class, and gender, not so that we can be made into one person's image. And that we have been given gifts by the Holy Spirit to be shared for the common good of our members and attenders, but also for the world in search of God. This is our prayer. Trusting that you are the one who is leading. May we humble ourselves, not thinking of ourselves more highly than we ought, but take into account and humbly evaluate our place in your hands as we are shaped into your image. It is in Christ's name we pray. Amen.